All right. You already getting the Word of God this morning? If you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, we're going to read a passage in Acts 2, 42 through 47. We'll be looking at various passages throughout the Scripture, but we're using this as this was the one of the blueprint text of some of the foundational truths that we build this church on. Acts 2, 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful that we get to be included in this community, that the church that was started there in Acts, that we are still part of the church, your church, and we can be involved in living out these expressions of faith as well. So Lord, help us to grab hold of what it means to be in your community and people of the way, and help us to live our faith out each and every day. Help me to preach plain and clear today, Lord. I do realize that there is a strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So as people of the way, we're going to focus on two areas this morning of some of our basic principles of who we are as a church and expressions of faith that we live out, and that is serving and giving. We're going to be looking at serving and giving, and so here's a little catchy phrase. You can hopefully this helps you remember this. Serving and giving is the way of Christian living. All right, you want to say that with me? You ready? Serving and giving is the way of Christian living. Serving and giving is an act of sacrifice. Now get this, it makes you think of yourself less, not to think less of yourself. It is an attitude of putting others first. So to say that we are servants and that we're serving, the Christian way of living is to think of ourselves less, not to think less of ourselves, but to think of ourselves less. According to Beyer in the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, he is making assessments and bringing out some insights into the Greek way of thinking and the culture of Greek philosophy and ways of living, which also the Romans adopted as well. And here's what he says about the Greek mindset. And see if it doesn't sound a little bit familiar to even our own modern day mindset as well. He writes this: "In Greek eyes, serving is not very dignified. Ruling and not serving is proper to man." The formula of sophist philosophy was, how can a man be happy when he has to serve someone? That's how they thought. That was the expression. How can a man be happy if he has to serve someone? For the Greek, the goal of human life is the perfect development of individual personality. Now think about that. For the Greek, the main goal of life is the development of one's own personal individuality. Does that not sound like the philosophy and thought even in our culture today? This determines the nature of service to others. Logically, the sophist argues, a real man should simply serve his own desires with boldness and cleverness. For the Greek and his freedom and wisdom, there can certainly be no question of existing to serve others. And so the Greek mindset, the Roman mindset, was a very egocentric, a very self-centered, a very me-first kind of attitude of always looking out for your own interests and desires and caring nothing about anyone around you, and pleasure for your own good and for your own well-being was the number one priority that one sought. And then Jesus comes, and he flips the script. He changes the dynamic and what it means to have purpose in life and what it means to be a servant. In John chapter 13, verse 1, we're recorded, it's following the Lord's Supper, and John gives us insight into this that the other Gospels do not give us. And it says, he says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' And Jesus answered him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' And Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' And Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.' And Jesus said to him, 'The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.'" Now look at verse 12. "Now when he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you.'" Now, what is Jesus trying to communicate here? That we're supposed to do foot washings in church? Is that the only thing he was trying to teach us? No, he is setting for us a standard of living and a way of practice and an attitude of being a servant. You see, the mere action that Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, would get up from the table, take off his outer garment and pick up a towel and tie it around his waist and kneel down and begin to wash the disciples' feet, that was what a servant did. When you would enter someone's house, they didn't wear tennis shoes and they wore sandals and the streets were not paved. They were dusty. And when you would enter someone's house, the courtesy was that you would wash their feet for them. And if you had a servant in the house, the servant's job was to wash their feet. And so when Jesus gets up and he begins to wash the disciples' feet, it makes Peter knows exactly what's going on. Peter's like, "What are you doing? Why are you washing my feet?" Why did Peter react that way? Because Peter knew that he was unworthy of Jesus washing his feet, that instead Peter should have been what? Washing his. And Jesus takes the role of a servant and he humbles himself and he washes their feet and he gives them an example that you are to be a servant, that you are to be a humble people, that you are to be people who don't think of yourself first, but that you think of others, that you're willing to do the menial task, that you're willing to be a servant and humble yourself. And so Jesus gives us a model. In Luke chapter 22, verse 24, it tells us of the dispute that happened, because what happened was James and John, his mother was talking to Jesus, and she was like, "Hey, can my son sit at your right hand and your left?" And this sparked this debate, because the other disciples heard that James and John were talking about wanting to have a position of authority and the kingdom of God, the right hand and the left, and they start this argument among themselves as disciples of, you know, who's the greatest? Who's the one that's going to get set by Jesus' side in his kingdom, you know? And it says a dispute also rose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, And those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Not so with you. Why? Because you're people of the way. It's going to be different. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the, say it with me, the youngest. Facebook Live, you're watching, type it out with me. And the leaders as one who serves. For who is the greater, the one who reclines at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at table? But I am among you as the one who serves. There's multiple Greek terms for serve. The one that we're mainly looking at today is the Greek word where we get our word deacon from. It means servant. The word deacon, it really means this, a table waiter. It means a waiter. How many of you all have went out to eat before? Raise your hand. Okay, good. Like the first service I asked that question, it was like everybody just didn't raise their hand. I thought, well, they must be all fixing nice meals at home. I mean, wow, maybe I need to be invited over to their house. You know, so you go out to eat and you sit down and you get your menu. And who comes to the table? The server or the waiter or the waitress, right? And who was the important one at that meal? You are. You're at the table. The one at the table. And yes, Sean, you're right. The father is the... And you're at the table, right? You're important, right? You're important. You get that menu out, you know. I'll have the steak medium with the baked potato with butter and sour cream, right? Fold it up. And there you're waiting for the servant or the waiter or the waitress to get your food and bring it back to your table, right? Wait a minute, it's a little too pink. And we think, as we're sitting there at the table, right, we're the important one, we're the important one. And then Jesus says, but I came as the waiter. I came as the servant. Now Jesus, if anyone deserved to be waited on, if anyone deserved to have the red carpet rolled out and everyone to do for him and to serve him and to honor him and to it was Jesus. If anyone deserved to be worshiped and praised and served as a king, it was Jesus. But Jesus said, I came, and I came as the servant. I came to humble myself. And so if we're going to be people of the way, then guess what we must be? People who what? Serve. Mark 10 verse 43, it goes along with this discussion here. It says, but it shall not be among you, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to... and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus, he came to serve. Serving and giving is the way of Christian living, right? It causes us to sacrifice and look to others and makes us think of ourselves less, not think less of ourselves, but to put the needs of others before our own. That's a whole different way of living, not only in the context of when Jesus lived, but also in our own context as well. Now, true or false, Jesus came to serve. True. So Jesus came to serve. That's true, right? The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27, Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Now this is the famous passage where Paul talks about that, you know, the body, that the body of Christ is made up of many members, just like our body. You know, we have an eye, we have an ear, we have a hand. And just as our body is made up of individual members that makes up the whole body, so too are we as a church that you, Christian, you are a member, a part of the body of Christ, and the church together collectively is the body of Christ. That the church is to be the hands and the feet, the mouth of Jesus, that we are to be the light to the world. We are to bring the gospel and the ministry of reconciliation to a lost world. That's our task. We as the church are the body of Christ. Now, let's do some logic, some reasoning here. Let's use some logic. You ready? Jesus came to serve. True? The church is the body of Jesus. True? If Jesus came to serve and the church is the body of Jesus now, then the church is to... Did y'all steal my notes? Yeah. Then the church is to serve, right? Because we're the body of Christ. We're people of the way. And because we're people of the way, we follow after the way, the truth, and the life. And if Jesus came to serve, guess what? We're supposed to serve. If he humbled himself, we are to be humble. If he did the menial task, then we're supposed to do the menial task. Never think you're too good to do anything. Well, the janitor can pick that up. That's his job. If you see a piece of trash laying around, pick it up, throw it away. No one's ever too good to pick up something and throw it away. Just look for opportunities. Never think you're too good to do something. Always remember that you come humbly as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who are we to serve? We're to serve strangers and saints. Strangers and saints. Now, who are the strangers? The strangers are those who are not part of the people of God, people who we'd say are lost, they're without hope, the people that have been disconnected from God, you know, by their sin, and they have not experienced the redemption of Christ. And so every single day, we have an opportunity to humble ourselves, take on the form of a servant, and go throughout our day and look for ways that we can be a blessing to someone else. That we don't get up that day and think, I wonder how everybody can serve me. But I wonder how I can serve someone else. Who is it at the workplace that needs an encouraging word? Who is it that I know that seems down and I need just to write a note or send a text and let them know, hey, I'm praying for you? Who around me is sick that I might need to go and visit? How can I help give clothes to someone who needs clothes? Who's the hurting around me, and how can I be that one that comes to serve them and give of myself to them and bless them? There's ways that we can bless people every single day. Maybe it's a smile. Maybe it's an encouraging word. I don't know, but there's opportunities every single day, and there's just little quick moments too, right? It might be opening the door for someone. How you doing? Have a good day. You don't know how you might be able to bless someone. Getting into a gospel conversation obviously would be a great way. But every day we have opportunities to humble ourselves with the mindset that I'm here as a servant of the Lord and I'm here to be a blessing to other people around me. Because you know what? It's going to happen. One day, we're going to stand before God. And the Bible tells us that he is going to separate the sheep from the goat. And he's going to put the sheep on one side and the goat on the other side. And he's going to tell the sheep, which are the righteous, he's going to say, blessed are you. And he's going to welcome them into his kingdom. And he's going to say, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in jail, you visited me. And the righteous are going to say to the Lord, Lord, when did we see you do this? When did we do this for you? And scripture tells us there in verse 40, and the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. When you minister to, when you blessed, when you gave of yourself, of your time, of your talents, of your treasure, when you invested in somebody else's life and you cared about somebody else more than you cared about you that day, and you put the needs of someone else before your own that day, and you did that blessing, you might not have got a pat on the back, you might not got an applause, you might not have got recognized, you might not have got the raise, but there is a God in heaven who saw that, and he wrote that down, and he marked it down, and he said, I saw you do that to that stranger. And if you did it to them, it's like you did it to me. Amen. Serving. And then he's going to look to the other group, the goats. And he's going to bring a cursing upon them. And they're going to be excluded from eternity with the king. And he's going to tell them, when I was hungry, you did not feed me. When I was naked, you did not clothe me. When I was thirsty, you did not give me a drink. And when I was in prison, you did not visit me. And they're going to look at the king and they're going to say, well, wait a minute. Now, when did we not do that? Because we don't remember seeing you and we don't remember you being there. And he will say to them, verse 45, then he will answer them and saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. You see the importance there? Do you see the importance of servanthood, of coming to serve and be a blessing to others and to minister to others? To think less of yourself, not think less of yourself, but to think of yourself less and think of others more, with a servant's heart to reach out and minister. Who else are we to minister to and serve? The saints. Now, who are the saints? Not the football team in New Orleans, okay? They are called the saints, but who are the saints? All right, Facebook Live, I'm gonna need your help because they ain't helping me none up in here this morning. Who are the saints? The church, the people of God. We, the church, are the saints of God, and we are to serve the saints. We are to serve the Bible tells us that we each have a gift. We've all been gifted by God, and so if you have the gift to sing, you need to sing. If you have the gift to teach, you need to teach. If you have the gift of helps, you need to be helping. If there's all kinds of gifts that the Lord blesses us with, and we're all to use our gifts for the purpose of building up the body of Christ so that the body can be the witness to the world that it's supposed to be. In 1 Corinthians 16:15, we see that Paul's writing. He says, now urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanus were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. They made it a priority, not just to serve in strangers, but to serve saints, their fellow believers in Christ, their church. And now, can I do some bragging just for a moment? And you won't get too puffed up and think you're too good not to serve anymore, will you? Huh? Can I brag on you just a little bit? Can you take a little bit of bragging without it puffing you up? Vacation Bible School. Okay, how many adults do you think helped serve the week of Vacation Bible School? We had 150 adult workers. Give yourselves a big round of applause. 150. That's amazing. Thank you all, man. It was just great to see the kids. I tell you, Tori did an amazing job teaching those kids. I was a little jealous. I mean, she's getting those kids up there. They were doing some skits. I did a cameo. She threw me in one of them. I was like, yay! I tell you, parents, guess what? You can be encouraged, man. We got some kids that they're not going to care at all to be martyrs. Okay, so she was talking about the Apostle Paul. And she was pretending like she was the Apostle Paul. She was setting it up. She was telling them what Paul did, you know, that Paul would round up Christians. And if he found anyone that was a Christian, he would take them to jail. And she would go and she would take a few of them. She'd take them over to jail, take them to jail. And then she would explain to him that he would kill Christians. And so she got back in Palmo and she's like, I'm trying to find me some Christians. Is there any Christians here? You know, now, knowing that Paul's coming to arrest them, right? And all the kids are like, me. I was like, oh, man, yes, we got kids not afraid to go to jail for the cause of Christ. Amen. I tell you what, that excited me. Raising up an army. And man, it was great to see all the adults come in and help. We have to have you serve in order for us to do what we do. If it wasn't for the church body acting like the body, we couldn't do what we do. Children's church on Sunday mornings. Now, everybody just be patient with us for a couple weeks. We'll get things up and rolling going on. We're trying to stop something before it gets started. So just bear with us just for a moment. But children's church, you know how many adults it takes to do children's church on a Sunday morning to get the rotation out? So where some people teach every week and some people teach on a monthly rotation, you know how many we have in that rotation, that group? 84 adults. Okay? That's 84 people. Thank you for those 84 serving, and we could use a few more. Children's Wednesday nights, we want to get Wednesday nights going back up. We got some ideas and plans for our worship time on Wednesday nights. And for the kids, we have to have at least a minimum of 20 adults to help us do Wednesday nights. Okay, now I know we haven't been in Wednesday night mode, so I'm going to put a plug in here right now in this sermon about serving, that if you have gifts and talents of working with children and you would like to invest in the lives of kids so that they may hear the good news of Jesus and then one day profess him as Lord, then Wednesday night's a great opportunity. And I'm telling you, when you work with kids, you'll be blessed. You're pouring into them the seed of the Word of God. You're laying for them a foundation of the Word of God. You get to invest in young lives and young hearts so that God can capture them at a young age. I think I'm going to sign up, Pastor. Sign me up. I got you. It's a way to serve. Thank you for those who faithfully serve. And if those of you who are good at with kids, we need you. We need some more people to step up and help serve. The praise and the tech team and the security team, that rotation makes up 50 people. The cafe needs a minimum 30. And so to do what we do on a weekly basis takes the body of Christ coming together and thinking of themselves less, not thinking less of themselves, but thinking of yourselves less and not making Sunday about you, but Sunday about serving others, because it's so easy to say, oh, I could just come to the early service and I could just go eat and have the rest of my day all to myself. Or I could come to the middle service, sleep in a little bit, and then leave. Or third service people, I get to sleep in and then go to church. How great is that? Because it's a sacrifice when you choose to serve on Sundays. Because you're giving up your time and your mornings. But because we're people of the way. And because we don't have the Greek mindset, the Roman mindset, or our modern day cultural mindset that it's got to always be about me. We serve. And we want to make sure that Sunday, Wednesday, whenever we're doing things for the church that we're here to serve, we haven't even mentioned our outreach yet. We're going to get that ramped up at the beginning of the new year. And that's going to involve a lot more people to get involved in serving as well. The outreach and ministries that we try to do to the community to bless people. So we are a church filled with servants who are following after the master servant. His name is Jesus. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. We're people of the way. He serves, so we. Amen. Not only do we serve, but we are to give. How can we do what we do in the building that we have and the resources that we need to get out? It has to come through faithful givers. Faithful people who give of their tithes and offerings. And can I just say how amazing it was in 2020 when everything shut down and no pastor, no churches anywhere knew how things were going to go and how people were going to continue to give, if they were going to continue to give, or how people were going to continue to serve, if they're going to continue to serve, and will they even come back to church? I mean, all these questions are going on, and we're wondering, and can I just say a big, huge thank you to Living Water Church, because in 2020, you gave more than in 2019. Yeah. That's amazing. That lets me know that we've got church, a church of people who are understanding what it means to be a faithful servant and a faithful giver. That they realize that the gospel and what we do here, it matters. It's important. The work that goes on through Living Water Church, it is making eternal life impact. And so in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul sees the giving as an act of service as well. He says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that was been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. They were in the middle of hard times, difficulties themselves, and even in poverty themselves, but yet they step up and gave generously when they heard of the needs and the hurts of other saints of God. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. Paul's like, man, these Christians in Macedonia, they blew my mind because they begged us. They wanted to be a part of this love offering that we were collecting for the needs of hurting people. And they gave, and they gave more than what we thought they would ever give. And what happens when the church becomes a serving and giving community? I tell you what happens. Blessings flow from that place. And so we continue to be a serving and giving people. Why? Because we're people of the way. In 2 Corinthians 9:12, it says, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. It's having people are starting to talk about the Lord, testimonies starting to come out. People are starting to see the witness of the church loving each other and working together. So just like in Acts, when they were working together, giving to one another, serving one another, the Lord was adding to their number day by day. And then look at verse 13. By their approval of this service, this was the gift, this was the love offering, the financial gift, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. He says, what's happened through your faithfulness and giving has displayed what the gospel is all about, that it's about sacrificing and giving so that blessing can fall upon someone else. And the greatest giver of all is God himself. The very reason that we can call on the name of the Lord Jesus is not only because Jesus is one who came as a servant, but he came as one as a savior. And the Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. and that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. You see, we're people of the way. And because we're people of the way, we serve and we give. Serving and giving is the way of Christian living. And so we read our Bible and we learn from Jesus and we see what he does and we model that. And so when we see what Jesus says, we say that. When we look at how Jesus lived, we live that. And so why are we to bless those who curse us? It's not easy, is it, Chase? But why are we to bless those who curse us? Because Jesus did it. Now, that's not easy to do, is it? But we're just not anybody. We're people of the way. And because Jesus blessed those who cursed him, we are to bless those who cursed them. Why are we, church, supposed to walk the extra mile with someone? Because Jesus did it. And he told us, if they come ask you to carry their stuff for 1 mile, you go two. We, as people of the way, we are to forgive when someone offends us. Why? Because Jesus did it. As he was being nailed to the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, we're people of the way. And Jesus came to serve. And we're his church, and we are to serve. We are to bless. We are to give. We are to be the hope that this world needs. It's a dark place. We are the light. It's a broken place. He puts us back together. And we are the people to share and to serve and to give and to witness to the world what the gospel really looks like. Amen? So let's serve and let's give. Because serving and giving is the way of Christian living. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you.